Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. Droid Life Show today, episode 159. It is Friday, December 1st. I'm your host, Kellen, with me, Tim. Tim, say hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Thanks for joining us after a couple week break. There was holiday week. Took a little time off, but we're back, and there's actually more stuff to talk about than I thought. Like, usually this is that slow time of year, but OnePlus gave us another late new phone. So did Razer. So we've got a couple of those to talk about. We've got other stuff going on. There's essential drama right now with Andy Rubin. We've got some Galaxy S9 stuff that's actually worth talking about for once. So yeah, good show worth of stuff. Let's start though. Well, I've got this guy, OnePlus 5T. You know, you look at kind of greasy looking actually. OnePlus 5T. I know you can. The only reason you can tell is the 5T, right? Is because the fingerprint reader. Otherwise, it looks exactly like the 5. If I was a good host, I'd have the 5 here to show you that. But so this phone, I believe, is official since we did our last episode, right? Like, I think it was like leading up to it. I don't know if we talked about it on the last episode.
Yeah.
Maybe announced, and then yeah. So, anyways, we have one now. I've had one for like a good week or something like that. So I'm working towards that review. I know we always like say like review's coming, and then we're always late on it, but we just get busy. There's only two of us. We try to do as fast as we can. So do I need to recap the phone? I don't really, right? We've talked about the phone, just not my impressions.
Do a quick recap.
Okay, quick recap. So OnePlus 5T, that all screen front. So it's got that modern design, no more home button situation, capacitive button situation down there, fingerprint reader on the back. In terms of specs, it's basically the same as the 5. So Snapdragon 835, 6 gig, 8 gig RAM. It is 60 gig. Yeah. And that means 64 gig or 128 gig storage. I'm just going to pull up the damn specs, trying to like rattle these off like as I'm talking. I just don't know them. I like, your brain can only memorize so many specs.
That's true.
And I memorized quite a few of them, but I just can't. Okay, on the back though, one of the big changes is the dual camera setup. So the previous version, OnePlus 5, had a dual cameras, and one was a zoom lens. So they've gotten rid of that, and now it's just a 16 megapixel and a 20 megapixel. And the 20 megapixel, as odd as this is going to sound, is supposed to focus on low light, and it takes 4 pixels, combines them into one or something like that. It's supposed to take better low light. I don't know if it's that much better or doing any miracles. I will say that the camera here, so OnePlus 5, I was not a fan of that camera. I actually thought it was mostly trash. This camera is actually pretty good. I've taken some photos that actually are pretty solid. So that's actually a good bonus there, a good improvement. The battery is still 3,300 milliamp hour. It does charge via dash charging, which remains like the king of fast charging, in my opinion. It's just stupid fast. The fingerprint reader is really fast on the back. It used to be really fast on the front. Now it's on the back. Still really good. The design just kind of looks identical. If you had a OnePlus 5 and then you saw this, you probably wouldn't tell the difference outside of what's going on in the front. That's sort of it in terms of a recap. Like I said, nothing's changed. So the display is now, how big is this thing? 6 inches. So it's 6-inch display. It is 1080p, so not quad HD. But a 6-inch 1080p. It's an AMOLED display again. It has Gorilla Glass 5. It's totally a solid display. Like, you know, we're going to compare everything to the Pixel 2 XL now. Doesn't do that blue shift, in case you were wondering. Does not do that. You know, like viewing angles, brightness, all that stuff's fine. I don't know if I'm going to call this like the best AMOLED panel ever, but it's totally good. It's better than what Google used in the Pixel 2 XL. Colors are nice. There's lots of profiles you can choose from. And the only thing is it's 1080p. To me, that doesn't bother me at all. I don't mind 1080p if that means better battery life. Speaking of battery life, it's been solid. The first few days, I wasn't really impressed. I think I told you, like, yeah, I was expecting better, and it hasn't been that great. The last handful of days since I told you that, have actually improved some. So battery life's fine. It's not incredible. It's fine. I like this phone. It's too bad OnePlus didn't give us this phone earlier in the year, instead of doing the regular OnePlus 5 with the outdated design. But so far, I really like this phone. Again, I'll have some more to say in like the full review, but at $500, even though I've kind of ragged on OnePlus a little bit about their prices that continue to rise, at $500, you're still getting better value here than you're getting in most smartphones. So, you know, if your budget is $500, it's kind of a no-brainer to just go with it. And you're not on Verizon because this phone still doesn't work on Verizon. But $500, like, totally really nice package for $500, I would say. Still no water resistance, but who dunks their phones in water?
Weird people.
Yeah, weird people. So yeah, that's kind of it for the OnePlus 5, like, or 5T. I've had it for, again, like a full week. We've done tips and tricks and first 10 things videos and stuff like that. If you have the phone or interested and want to see that stuff, if you're waiting for review, I'm thinking like early next week, it shouldn't be too much longer. OnePlus did say they set a launch day sales record with the 5T. There's no invite system, so people could actually buy them. So they're really only competing with what, like, the last couple of phones there. But that's a big deal, because people could have bought the 5 or whatever, right? And instead they didn't waited for the 5T. I actually wonder that. Is that going to be a thing with OnePlus?
It should be.
That, like, people will start skipping the first phone. And I'm being serious. Like, that's something they should worry about.
I would. I would skip. Like, yeah, the first iteration every time now.
I would now too. I mean, this is 2 years in a row they've done this. And I think they already have said there's no guarantee next year that there'll be a 6T or something like that. Well, why wouldn't there be, right? Like, this year, I think somebody, I'm almost positive somebody got a quote from OnePlus shortly after. And it was like maybe a month after the 5 and said, like, is there going to be a 5T? And I think they told, I'll have to look it up, and I'm pretty sure an official statement said, no, there's not going to be a 5T. And then, of course, a 5T shows up. So, if I was you and next year the OnePlus 6 comes out, I would wait. and get the 6T, because they always do these subtle improvements that make it better. Like, last year, the OnePlus 3T was basically our phone of the year. And that's because it improved upon what the 3 had done. So, just throwing that out there.
Jamie in the chat says, would you recommend the 5T over the Pixel 2 XL? Hell no.
Like, it all comes down to budget, right?
Sure.
If your budget's 500, yeah, get the 5T. If you have a grand to spend, like, I would buy the Pixel 2 XL. I mean, if I got that much, I guess you could buy two OnePlus 5Ts, though. I would buy it because the camera in the Pixel 2 XL is just, I don't say it's miles better, but it is substantially better than what you'll get with the dual camera experience here. The 5T's camera is much better than the 5. I'm not going to put it up here with what Google's done. I mean, the Pixel 2's cameras are just stupid good. The other thing, Pixel 2 XL, I mean, design-wise, like, I finally have my Penguin in-house. Like, this just looks cooler, right? Like, it just looks cooler.
There's a reason why you and me both, I think, rock the Pixel 2 XL as, like, our daily phones, unless we're reviewing something else. I mean, this is the phone.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Even with the display drama, like, it's... So, if my budget was unlimited or whatever, I would choose Pixel 2 XL. Number one, again, camera. Number two, design. Number three, has water resistance. Number four, which should probably be, like, number 1B, software support. You know, it's already, if I want it to be, it could be already be running 8.1, whereas this 5T is already at least one release behind. It's on 7.1.1, whereas the 3, OnePlus 3 and 3T are on Oreo, and the 5 is on Oreo beta, whereas this is not on either. There's not, like, an Oreo beta. So it's already a little bit behind. So you just combine all those things. If my budget is a grand, I would choose this over the 5T, yes.
Yeah, well, what's up with that Verizon deal right now where you get $300 off of Pixel 2?
Yeah, so Verizon's running a deal right now where just straight up $300. Well, it's not straight up. It's over 24-month period. But yeah, if you're on Verizon and you plan to be there for the next 2 years, they're running a deal in stores today, December 1st, for those listening later on, and starting Sunday, December 3rd online, they're doing $300 off, and it's no trade required. So you can actually get a Pixel 2 XL for what, $650?
That's pretty good. I mean, yeah, it's that agreement thing, 24-month. But yeah, I mean, if you plan on being with Verizon for 2 years, which, I mean, most people who have been on Verizon typically just stay with Verizon because they know that what they get is fine. Yeah. Then it's not a bad deal.
No, I mean, that's kind of a crazy deal. If you buy the Pixel 2, you can get one for $350, like the regular Pixel 2. That's cheap. And I know they spread it out over 2 years, but that's like $14 a month, $12 a month, something like that. Pretty cheap. Mm-mm-mm. Who is this person in the chat spamming weird stuff? How do we ban you?
I already did.
Oh, you already banned her? Okay.
I think so.
Oh, yeah, you did. Okay, good.
Yeah. Just takes a moment.
Just. So, yeah. If
I had to
didn't come across clear, if I was choosing between the 5T and the Pixel 2 XL, I would choose the Pixel 2 XL. Not that that's the saying the 5T is bad. Like, this is actually a really good phone. I like this phone a lot. I do wish it was running Oreo. That's kind of like my only complaint at the moment. Like, I don't have very many problems with this phone. I'm actually surprised the camera's as good as it is. Even their portrait mode is pretty solid. Yeah. OnePlus 5T is a really nice phone.
Yeah, but the portrait mode on this guy is even
silly good. Yeah.
I make this argument, man. You got, say, like Razer, OnePlus, even Samsung now with these dual cameras. Google is still doing a better job with one camera. So if apparently resources are going into the wrong place.
Think about that, actually, what you just said. All these other phones are like, we need two cameras, including Apple, right? We need two cameras so we can get this depth effect right, get this portrait mode that's the cool, hot thing. And Google's like, yeah, we only used one, and look at this magic. It really is the best portrait mode, I think. And it does it front and back cameras. Mm-hmm. Like the front camera, which usually is like a crappy sensor, Google's portrait mode front camera is better than almost everyone else's back camera.
And it looks really good. It's clear. It's too clear. I don't even use it because it brings out all my imperfections. I mean, no way.
It's actually kind of nuts. Yeah. I do wish they would let you adjust, because it's kind of like you're at Google's mercy, right? Like, you take the picture, it does its portrait thing, and you can't like adjust the bokeh, the blur. It kind of just does it. Yeah. But that's fine. Like, it seems to nail it for you. It's one of those things where you're like, Google does best.
Algorithms.
Yeah.
AI machine
learning. All those algorithms. So much AI. Anyway, so OnePlus 5T, I will have a review up shortly next week. If you want to know now what I think, like, yes, this is a really good phone. Really nice, even at $500. And like I said, I've been kind of ragging on their pricing. Look, they did a lot right here. And like I said, the 1080p display doesn't bug me at all. Fast charging is awesome. Has a headphone jack, in case you care about such things. Really nice phone from OnePlus.
There you go.
Yeah. Did... you want to talk about the Razer phone now?
The Razer phone, yeah. Just got my review up. When was that? Last week? Yeah, before Thanksgiving. I got it up last Thursday.
That's right.
Or last Wednesday, excuse me. The phone is really nice, actually. Had a lot of fun with it. The performance is fantastic. Software is really good. However, you know, there are a few downsides. And for me, that was the hardware. The hardware is just, it's massive. You know, it's just it's a rectangle, really thick rectangle. And the camera experience was extremely lacking. They've already come out and said, yeah, you know, early next year, later down the road, we're going to improve it by adding new modes. Like, so in my review, I talked about how they stripped every single mode, from the camera. All it was a point and shoot. There was a video option, but they removed any type of panorama. There's no portrait mode or anything like that. So it's a very bare bones dual camera system, and it's a dual camera system that's not even very good. It overexposed nearly everything I was shooting. A lot of the pictures were just frankly bad. And I try and strive to have like a good eye for taking photos. Even with a bad camera, you can sometimes get a few good shots, but it was difficult. But again, I go back to the good stuff. I mean, it had a really good battery life, 4,000 milliamp hour battery, of course, in that massive phone. So my battery life was awesome. I was getting through a day easy with like 40%, 50% left of battery.
And that's with doing quite a bit of gaming, right?
Oh, I was gaming 24/7 on that thing.
With that 120 hertz display, they've obviously optimized the hell out of that thing, which is awesome.
Yes, then they talked about that at length. You know, even during the announcement, they said, we worked with Qualcomm, we worked with whoever to like optimize the display 120 hertz, as well as the processing, all this stuff. So it showed that they put a lot of effort into certain aspects of the phone. But then, you know, there was just glaring issues, you know, in other few aspects of it, like the camera. So overall, really nice phone, but $699. See, now that's a toughie. If you want like the big phone experience with awesome front facing speakers and an awesome display, it's quad HD, 120 Hertz, only phone that's doing that right now. It's kind of cool. Is it phone of the year? Nah, but it's definitely cool for what it is. It's awesome. I like, you know, being Razer's first attempt at like an Android smartphone. I think they nailed it. I think it can only get better if they intend on ever doing another one. But we also, since they are a new company, we don't know what to expect in terms of updates. Nextbit themselves were pretty good at updating.
They were really good, yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully that, you know, it's the same team maybe, hopefully, that's doing all the software stuff, but we'll see. It's a long road ahead. So far, I've seen a lot of, you know, public feedback on it. Seems a lot of people praise the device. I think it's just tech media in general that's kind of bored with the Razer phone. It's a pretty boring design. It's pretty Razer, you know, just kind of sleek, black, blah, blah, blah.
The one thing I don't get about products like that is it's obviously gamer focused. It wants they want you to play games on it. Well, even consume media because it has the display and the speakers and all that. But like, how many people really care about owning like the beast of all beast gaming phones? Like, I get it. You buy an Xbox, a PlayStation, you soup up a computer to play games and get performance. But there's not like a competitive mobile gaming scene, right? Like, people aren't. I guess what I'm trying to say is like, it's cool that they made a gaming focused phone, but like the Pixel 2 has like the same processor. I know it doesn't have as much RAM, but it also has stereo speakers. I know the display sucks. Doesn't have 100, but you can get phones that have similar specs. Are there actually people willing to pay for a gaming phone?
Apparently, man. at least from what I've seen,
I'm curious if people are buying it. I don't know that we'll ever know, but
see, like, I don't think our community are the ones that, like, I feel like even like a lot of our community, our readers specifically, aren't like the biggest gamers or something. Like, I don't get that vibe from them.
Okay, so here's a question. Well, I'm assuming you probably follows like some YouTube channels of dudes that play games, but I guess they're probably not using Razer products though, are they? Because the stuff you play isn't PC gaming. What I was going to say is like all these gamers on YouTube, right, that live stream and do all this stuff, like they have sponsors and they spam their SCUF controller crap all over the place. But I guess you would have to follow a PC gamer to see if like, are the guys that are like sponsored by Razer? Like, are they talking about the Razer phone? Like, do you follow anyone that's like has Razer as a sponsor and they're talking about the Razer phone? I'm just curious.
I follow someone who is sponsored by Razer and they aren't talking about the Razer
phone. Okay. So that's weird to me. I would think like Razer would have given everyone that's they're sponsored by like have all the Razer phones, do giveaways, talk about this. So if they're not, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I know there is a large group of people on YouTube that got the Razer phone and that are gamers, you know, apparently like everyone is a Twitch streamer now, everyone and their grandmother, and of course they're talking about it, you know, but like they're talking about it because they got the phone for free, you know. I don't know if their viewership or their readership is going out and buying the phone. I mean, it's a $700 device that
5% off with my code.
Yeah, 5% off with code Optic. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. But
well, at least you have heard people talking about it, because I was just curious like that, because that seems like a lot of the way gaming companies reach their audiences, right, is through those gamers like promoting that stuff. So I was just wondering if they're doing that with the Razer phone at all.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing about Android in general, right? It really takes, you know, Razer's a big brand. It's a well-known brand. And so when they just kind of come up on the scene and like, here, we have our own phone now, I think it's easy for a lot of people who are already hype about the company in general to say, oh, I might check out that Razer phone, you know, or like Ali A was like, I'm going to switch to Android up from iOS because of the Razer phone.
Oh, really?
Like, okay. Oh, yeah. And so, I mean, the name's getting out there. Oh, of course, it's a lie. He'll just use both at the same time, I would assume, or just not use the Razer phone at all. Yeah, I mean, if he's trying to vlog on the Razer phone, good luck, bro. Like, that camera's awful.
Yeah, not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you don't need to take pictures or anything like that, yeah, It's pretty good. I mean, the software, the performance, I mean, all that's great. They added in a lot of custom tweaks that you can do. If you're playing a game, you can mess with your processor's clock speed. I mean, that's not something you see on a lot of different devices. So
I wonder if companies, it's an LCD. Yeah, it's an IGZO LCD.
IGZO, right? LCD.
So I wonder if, I know that tech isn't, there's not like an IGZO AMOLED, right? Like, isn't it like, this is like Sharp's technology, right? Isn't it? Yeah. So I was just, what I was thinking about is like the next step then for just other phone manufacturers like Samsung, right? Can Samsung do 120 hertz on one of their AMOLED? I don't know. I don't know display technology that well, but that seems like an area that we could go to, right? Like one of the iPads, I think, has a display similar to this that has a higher refresh rate. But this is like the only phone on Android. Like, I think it'd be cool if like that was what Samsung did next or what Google did next, right? Like they, because, you know, we're kind of specced out on phones. Like cameras are getting slightly better. We're doing stupid portrait modes to try to brag about them. But like display tech is kind of stalled, but maybe that's where we go. I don't know.
I had to do a little bit of research for this one because, like you, I don't know much about display technology, but I was seeing a lot that OLED panels just can't maintain a refresh rate of something that high. So maybe that's somewhere like, speaking of Samsung and their Super AMOLED, they can't do it. So, oh, of course, people in our chat are saying no OLED 120 hertz display as of yet.
Anyway. And I know there isn't. That's what I'm saying is like, I wonder if that is the next step or if we're closer at all. But yeah, people in the chat would probably know much more than us.
Thank God.
We're not OLED or panel experts. That's for damn sure. We used to just take lots of macros of terrible AMOLEDs and make fun of them. But
yeah. And a little like, oh, or what was that? OLED? No, what was it? POLED. POLED with a little P.
Little P, yeah.
Yeah, little P. Plastic. Yeah.
No, that's what's in the, you're probably thinking of little QHD.
Little QHD, thank you.
Yes. Little QHD. Those were the days where you used to fling scroll on like a Motorola phone and it just went and like it just went to a blurry mess.
Yeah. If you want to know what we are experts in hamburgers, beer, things of that nature. Yes. Burgerville experts, yes. Tillamook cheese with the pepper bacon, yes. I am an expert in all things Burgerville.
That's funny. Shout out Roy, must know the local burger scene.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that would be cool though. Like that's one of those things about this phone that interests me, because there's, being honest here, there's not a lot about the Razer phone that interests me. It's huge. It looks like a tank. It's not obviously not targeted at me, but the display tech that actually looks cool. Like it's one of those things I do want to see in person at some point, just to see that buttery smoothness that you should get at 120 hertz.
It was dope, man. I mean, like it just seemed like it performed, you know. I didn't want it to be like some placebo effect either, you know, so I'd go from 60 to 120 and it was a noticeable difference. Most smartphones are running at 60 hertz, and when you bump it up to 120, it was like you were flinging through screens and like actually seeing the text, you know, as it scrolls quickly,
which is insane, especially coming from the Pixel 2 XL where that goes pretty blurry.
Yeah, I mean, it's blue as hell. I can't even see it. It's so grainy. The display is terrible. But the another point I wanted to make, when I went from the Razer phone back to the Pixel 2, I mean, the Pixel 2 is like, it's the XL. It's the big guy. And it feels small in your hand when you're coming from the Razer phone. And I was like, oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, that phone's almost 200 grams. This thing is like around one high 160s or low 170s. It's like a really big difference.
Yeah.
So I not to say like I miss the Razer phone, but I could see why someone would buy it, and I think they would be happy with it unless they need that camera. That's really like the downfall of all things.
Yeah, cameras are. It's like when I talked about the OnePlus 5 earlier in the year and we reviewed that. That was the thing. I mean, that was the thing I said, I'm passing on this phone because I can't live with a terrible camera. And I know I tried to live with the Essential phone for a long time because that hardware, you know, was so beautiful. But the camera, like, you couldn't go. I stopped, like, when I used the Essential phone for a while, I just found that I wasn't taking pictures anymore, which sucks. Like, I have a kid, right? Like, I do stuff. I take pictures of beer all the time. Like, I like doing that stuff. And when you have a phone that has a bad camera, it's kind of a deal breaker because you don't take pictures. And I like documenting, like, you know, my life in that way. We have Google Photos. We can upload all this stuff. So yeah, Razer phone, if the camera is as bad as everyone says, like, no thanks.
Yeah, Bertzer asks, the 120 refresh rate IGZO or Super AMOLED? Dude, that's a really good question. If I could go the Pixel 2 hardware with the 120 hertz refresh rate IGZO, I would do that. That's no problem because that's quad HD. This is quad HD. I mean, I'm not losing pixels, but gaining 120 hertz refresh rate, that's actually pretty sweet.
So. And I love me some AMOLEDs, but if the display is that good and that smooth, like I would go LCD for a little bit if I could get that, probably.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only thing you would be getting is the refresh rate itself, because it, not to say like the display itself was like amazing, right? I mean, the color accuracy was okay. It was really cold to the eye, not as cold and as cool blue as the Pixel, but I mean, it was cooler. So, but it was fine. I mean, it's good phone. If anyone else has any questions about it, hit me up on Twitter or something.
Okay, so this is kind of controversial subject around it, though. So this week, was it the Razer CEO? Is that who that guy was? Somebody from Razer. A big wig at Razer. He said he tried to...
explain why it doesn't have a headphone
jack. Yeah, why it doesn't have a headphone jack. And he gave a pretty long explanation. At least he tried to explain... like that there's some benefit. Like most people, like Apple, I think, just said wireless is the future. Like that was why they killed. Like that's a garbage reason. I don't think Google told us why either, right? When Google took a headphone jack out of the new Pixel 2s, did they have a real reason? I think they just skipped right on by it. Didn't they? Acted like, well, we got an adapter.
No, and with this, I mean, this is the president and CEO. He tried to give like an actual, hey, we actually offered a solution, and you know, the phone is getting better stuff because we ditched the headphone jacks.
All right, so let's walk through what he said. He said, number one, by kicking out the headphone jack, we were able to increase battery size by about 500 milliamp hour. That's significant. Improve thermals for performance. He also said, we gave you a DAC, a THX certified DAC in a dongle. DAC in a dongle, yeah.
Dongle DAC.
You can plug your normal headphones into, so you'll get a better sound out of the DAC in a dongle than you would just a standard headphone jack, is what he also said. And then reason number three, which is pretty terrible, he said, and we also released these USB-C headphones that you can buy. That's not a reason, dude. Come on. Yeah, we took it out so you can spend another $80. So we'll just ditch the headphone comment because that's garbage. But are you buying that they actually gained enough space to put another 500 milliamp hours battery, and that you would rather have a DAC and a dongle from THX over a headphone jack?
I can't say whether I buy the whole 500 milliamp hour battery thing. Tough to say, right? Yeah, unless we see like a teardown, right? Like, well, iFixit's gonna have to come in. Did they do it?
Somebody did it at over at Reddit. Yeah, hold on, let me pull that up.
Because unless the battery creeps all the way down underneath the front facing speakers, whether it be on top or on bottom, then they've got a solid argument there. If they don't, and it's confined within where only the display is, and we're going to have some beef. Mr. Razer CEO. I'm trying
to find this damn thing. Somebody totally started a thread at Reddit that was like, it's a lie. And they had this internal screenshot. Of course, I can't find the damn thing now. Come on, Google. You're not working, Google. But it was like an x-ray type shot, or maybe it was a teardown. And this guy tried to explain how like the measurements here don't match up to that, and he was lying, and there's no way this allowed him to get it. Like somebody totally spent an entire day breaking that down.
Wow, if only that was my life.
I will just say that I just appreciate the fact that this guy actually explained that there are some benefits to it. Like you said, how are we really going to know if this actually allowed them to gain 500 milliamp hour? If it did, like, that's awesome.
It's great.
I would take more battery over a headphone jack, especially knowing that they also did toss in a dongle that has a THX certified DAC where you may actually get better audio performance. I know that introduces a DAC. I know it's not as simple as just plugging headphones in, but at least they're trying to sell us on this. Whereas Google and Apple are like, future. Welcome to the future and courage. So, yeah. I know it was just kind of controversial a little bit there because everyone goes, whatever, just put that in and then I have to buy headphones and all this crap.
Yeah.
And LG put a DAC in theirs.
Joey Riz asked a question if I used the Google Camera app on the Razer. And yeah, I did download it straight from Google Play. And that does give you the modes that you're missing from Razer's built-in camera app. But the quality didn't really increase all too much. So
that's too bad.
So yeah, sure, you get your mode, you get your photosphere and your panorama and all that good stuff, but you're still missing out on a quality. So that's, and yes,
because that could Razer, be a sensor problem.
Exactly. And I just want to say, yes, Razer does own THX, so of course it's extremely yes,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so of course it's THX certified. For their
crap, that makes it so. Really funny. I didn't know that. That's really funny.
Yeah.
Well, like, again, at least he tried to sell us on a reason.
That dongle DAC, though.
DAC and a dongle.
That's ridiculous.
I love a good dongle.
Who doesn't love a good dongle joke?
All right. Moving on. Oh, are you telling everyone to buy this phone at $700?
No, I'm not telling everyone. Telling a few specific people. If you mobile game as much as I do, you might like it. Like if you're into that Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes grind. Then,
couch phone action.
Yeah, it's the perfect couch phone, right? It's so big, it doesn't fit in your pocket anyway, so just leave it on the coffee table in your living room. If you got money to spend, yeah, just have a good house phone. Be the Razer phone for sure. Who needs a camera for like their house phone?
I don't know. You use your Pixel 2 for that.
Exactly.
All right, Galaxy S9. It's silly that we're already talking about the Galaxy S9. So we actually have worthwhile stuff to report on the Galaxy S9 for the first time in some time. I know there's been some news kind of floating about. It's just so early that it's hard to. But I guess if you think about it, though, the S9 is kind of on that Apple track where like the leaks start like a year in advance in many situations. This is Samsung so damn big. Evan Blass, who you guys know as Ev Leaks over at VentureBeat, dropped a report like right before Thanksgiving, I think it was. Yeah, right before Thanksgiving. And he tried to kind of break down what we can expect. And he said the S9, S9 Plus launch will be very much like when iPhones do iPhone 7, then iPhone 7S kind of thing. So think of it like this is like the Galaxy 8S in a way. So we'll get like similar displays, 5.8 inch in the S9, 6.2 inch in the S9 Plus. They're still quad HD, infinity, curved edge, all that stuff. 10 nanometer processors, which probably means a Snapdragon 845. And Samsung did actually this week just start building their new second gen 10 nanometer processors. 64 gig storage, still headphone jacks. So what he did say, though, and this is this sucks if true, and it probably is true. The phones will be slightly different. So in the last handful of years, like if you bought an S7 or an S7 Edge or S8 Edge or S8 Plus, you got same phone, just bigger body, right? And so bigger phone meant just slightly bigger display, bigger battery, but everything else was the same: camera, RAM, storage, all that. So he's under the impression that that'll change. So the regular S9 will have 4 gig RAM and a single camera on the back. And the S9 Plus will have 6 gig RAM and a dual camera on the back. So they're kind of splitting it up. And, you know, that pisses me off. Like Google said, they kind of made a statement out of it at the Pixel 2 event where they said, if you buy the Pixel 2 or 2 XL, you don't lose any features. Ha ha. You get the same exact experience. While that's not 100% true because the displays are quite different on them, it is still the same feature set. You're not getting like more RAM or a dual camera in one or the other. So that sucks. If you are a small phone aficionado, you will get only one camera, less RAM if you were to buy the S9, apparently, come up this year. That sucks. I think that's very unfortunate. He did say that they're getting AKG stereo speakers, though. That's a big deal for Samsung. We've never had stereo speakers in a Samsung phone, I don't think.
I don't think so, nope.
Rear centered fingerprint sensor, so not in the terrible position of, I don't have any Samsung phones laying around in that terrible spot. Apparently they're going to center everything vertically, so it'll be like camera sensor flashes, fingerprint reader, rather than horizontally, which was so stupid. It'll be vertically aligned, so that's good.
That's great too.
Yeah, so stereo speakers and rear, I mean, I'll take one right now, Samsung.
Yeah, sign me up.
So the only thing somewhat questionable about the report is he said they may tease it at CES. And look, Evan has had, he obviously, his track record. We all know it. He leaks up all the time. And the CES stuff, though, he just got to hesitate a little bit there before we all buy in on that. And the reason I say that is every year there are reports that Samsung's going to show the off their new Galaxy phone at CES, and it has never happened ever. So I would just say maybe they'll like tease it like real quick, say the S9's coming or something like that. Like last year at MWC, they teased the S8 and then they announced it like a month later or whatever. So that could happen. I mean, they could get up there and go, the S9's coming, and not really tell us anything. And they'll hype about like when the event is going to, you know, unveil it. That could very well happen at CES. And that's probably more than likely what he's talking about there. But anyways, just be careful. Like, we've seen some other people mention that LG might do something at CES, like show off the G7. Like, LG's never done that either. So, I don't know. When CES comes around, I think we start hyping CES because CES is so goddamn boring these days. Anyways, though, the rest of the stuff sounds solid other than differing phones, but there's also some positives there, like stereo speakers and things like that. Are you excited about the S9? I am not excited at all right now. I'll get there.
It's so early still. It's so hard to be like pumped. I'm ready just for like the year to end and like to take a break for 5 seconds. But
yeah, I think we were starting to settle in. Like, all right, we got the Pixels. We can start chilling on the reviews. And then OnePlus like, no, here's a phone. And Razer's like, here's a phone. And all, and then more phones popped up. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm excited though. I mean, yeah. Sounds pretty sweet. I mean, it's a Galaxy flagship. You just have to be excited.
Yeah, and like they're adding the things that, you know, we want, like stereo speakers and a better fingerprint reader placement. Like those are improvement. Like that S9 or S8 and S8 Plus were amazing phones. They just had a couple of little issues. Now there sounds like they're fixing those. So it'll be exciting. You know, the software, I'm finding more and more like I can't use a phone if it's not, I'm sounding more Android elitist, I think, by the day, but it's been really hard for me this year for whatever reason to get into phones that aren't running basically stock Android. Like, I gravitate towards OnePlus phones, obviously the shitty Essential phone. Like, I like that thing, right? And I think it's the software. And then obviously now the Pixel phones, like, it's kind of been that clean version of Android. And if it's running a skin, like, I'm really having a hard time this year getting behind it. You know, like the Note 8. What Note did we just get? Yeah, the Note 8. It's not like I didn't like the Note, but like software, I was just like, I don't like you. And the S8 and S8 Plus I used for a while, but like software, I don't like that software.
Yeah.
Hard. Like, you just use the Razer phone. It's basically running clean Android.
And it comes with Nova Launcher Prime out of the box. Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is. All right. Anyway, that's S9, S9 Plus news. That's the latest. The latest that we would at least trust. All right. So kind of random news, but Google is apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, considering folding Nest into its hardware business. So for those who don't know, Google bought Nest like 2015, I think, or 14. No, 14. It's been that long that Google's owned Nest. So Google bought them and they kept Nest separate. Apparently Nest even has like separate PR, separate legal, like separate everything. And we knew they were separate. Even when Google became Alphabet, and then Google kind of was like its own new thing, like Nest was still separate from them. Anyway, they're talking now about maybe folding Nest into the hardware business, which would be the hardware side of Google that Rick Osterloh runs. It does the Pixel and Google Home and all of that stuff. There's not like a definitive yes, that's happening. It's just that Google is considering doing that. I think it makes sense. Like, it's like Nest doesn't feel like a Google company to me. Like, I don't know about you, but like they've definitely done a good job of staying separate. Like, Nest feels like Nest. I know Google owns them, but like there's no Google branding on anything. Like, I don't ever feel like there's special integration coming from Google to Android stuff. You know, they obviously have really stalled in terms of innovation. Like, they were out of the gate with the thermostat. They did some smoke detectors. They did something else too. Oh, the Nest Cam. But the Nest Cam is even just repackaged drop cams, right? So they haven't really released anything new. Now they've got like the security system and they'll have a doorbell someday, I think. They've done some other stuff, but I don't know. I guess like it makes sense to me for them to roll into Google, because then Google can really take over your home, right? You could have a Google Cam. You could have Google Protect. You could have a Google Thermostat. Like, I don't know that this says that they're going to kill the Nest brand, but I guess if you're rolling into Google's hardware, I'm killing Nest.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I feel like Nest should have just been rebranded like as a Google thing, I feel like a long time ago.
Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah. I think one thing that I want to see is better integration with Google's existing products. So if we could get to that point by Nest being rolled into their hardware department or whatever ecosystem, that would be good. That would be a good thing. That's a good thing for consumers. I don't care what they're doing really, like on the business monetary side of anything, you know, it's all going to, you know, the lawyers deal with that stuff. But as a consumer, I think it would be great to have a little bit more unification about what Google puts out. I think about Apple, you know, if they buy something, they're not just going to let it run separately, you know, and do their own.
What about Beats?
I guess like
I think that's about the only one, isn't it?
I'm trying to think of another. No, I think that's a good example of one that I think already is such a brand that's like recognized that you don't maybe like that name itself is just worth so much in advertising and marketing. Maybe you don't rid of it. Yeah, but Nest,
massive. So
yeah, I mean Nest, you could just I feel like you could rebrand that anytime.
I feel like initially Nest was this like powerful name because everyone knew like smart home thermostat, all that stuff. Like Nest was like the king, and they probably still are very much so. But I do feel like the name has diminished some because we've got all these other players in the market now, right?
Oh, there's so many.
And in a lot of ways, now like all the controls, like you used to think like, well, Nest needs to make like a hub, right? Like you got the thermostat, which is kind of a little bit of a hub, and you've got some cameras and stuff. But now it's like when you think about home control, that's like a side kind of deal, right? Like you have Google Home or Amazon products, right? And you kind of control everything with those. And so it's almost like all these other things, like your cameras and your thermostat, in a way, they become nameless because once they're connected and set up, you don't really go to those anymore. Like now you can go to Google Home. Like you just say, Google, you know, like change, set the temperature, show me the camera, turn the channel, turn the TV on. Like they're all these appliances, but they're almost nameless in a way. Like as long as they just work, you have Google and Amazon controlling them, if that makes sense. So I'm not saying like Nest should just die and go away, but in a way I feel like the brand recognition is going to start being diminished as Google and Amazon are in control of everything. Mm. So if they fold Nest in, it's kind of sad. Nest kind of got us started on this really, really big smart home thing that's going on right now. So like the brand going away is a little bit sad if that were to happen. But Google should be making a thermostat. Google should be making their own cameras just like Amazon. You know what I mean? Like they should be Google stuff, not this weirdly separated Nest thing. So
yeah, I guess I don't want to put too much emphasis on the fact that like, having a different name on the product is going to make it better or worse or anything like that. But I guess just from like an outside perspective, just having everything under the Google umbrella just seems to that like that would work better. I mean, it's already sold on Google Store or whatever and all that stuff. Like everything's together. Why not just really make it together like a single offering of Google stuff? So
I'm kind of with you. I think it makes sense, but
I want like
maybe there's just that much value in the Nest brand.
Maybe I'm totally off on that. It's totally possible. Yeah. What I want is like a Google bundle, like a Google smart home bundle. It costs $500. You get the Nest thermostat, Google Home, Google Wi-Fi. Maybe make it $600.
Something. Throw a camera in there.
Yeah. Google smart home bundle. Make it $1,000 and like everything, you know, there needs to be some discounts on some stuff to make it $1,000, but like everything Google Nest makes, throw it all in a can, turn it around and spit it out to the people. I think that could sell.
Yeah. And like you mentioned the store selling it, like it does kind of look weird that like there's all this Google stuff and then also there's like a Nest section. And like you said, if I was to buy like a bundle of stuff, like I get all this Google products and then like here's a Nest thermostat, like what the hell is Nest?
Yeah,
that'd be extreme there. But so who knows if it'll happen, right? So it's just a report. If it does, I'd just say like it would make sense that they would do that. And I don't know if that means the Nest brand going away, but it kind of seems like they should have one hardware division, not this like separate company out here doing stuff. And look, Nest has been running pretty poorly for the last couple of years. They haven't released much new. When they finally did, they were like behind everyone else. So it's probably time maybe they get under Google.
There you go.
Fresh start kind of thing.
It's possible.
All right. In kind of weird news. Essential, a little bit of drama. So Andy Rubin, you guys know, the father of Android, who is the founder of Essential. He's taken a personal leave of absence from the company. And the story is a little murky. The information reported that he took a leave, and they're reporting that he took a leave basically when he found out that they were going to report on an inappropriate relationship he had in his final years at Google. And his reps have already denied that there's any connection between the two. And they've already said that Google has never told him that he was investigated or had an inappropriate relationship or anything like that. And he said any relationship he had there was consensual. And so whatever. So their report and Andy Rubin's people are not on the same page. All we know is he's taken a leave. They did confirm that he did take a leave from Essential. He's not out at Essential. He hasn't quit. He hasn't been fired. He hasn't been pushed out. He's on a leave. And so they have, I think is it Nicola DeMasi? Is that his name? The guy that was the president? I think he is now in charge.
Yikes.
For the time being.
That's not good. He's the one who was sending out the bad pictures, right?
Yeah, that was sending out those terrible pictures.
Yeah, that's so a bad anyway, idea.
Yeah, Nicola DeMasi. So he is, hopefully I'm saying that right. He was Essential's president. He is taking over for the time being. Look, I'm not going to speculate on what's going on there. That apparently has happened, though. He's on a leave, and there's a report of an inappropriate relationship. It was apparently him and someone who worked underneath him. That's all we know. So, anyways, Essential ran an AMA this week, like the day that dropped. And
good timing.
Yeah, I mean, like, they fielded some questions. Like, a Redditor asked them straight up, like, I'm worried now. Like, what's the future of the company? Andy Rubin's out. What's up? And they didn't acknowledge anything about Rubin. They just said, like, we're here to continue to support this phone. We've got this roadmap and all this stuff coming. And we're not going anywhere. We're going to support you guys for a really long time. So if you guys are worried about it, they're saying all the right things. And that's, I mean, there's not really much else to say about that, right? This is like personal stuff. That's not really our realm. We're kind of tech guys. We don't really talk about inappropriate relationships, right? At companies.
Dude, we are tech journalists. This is every right for us to talk about. We talked about the,
I know, but like, I don't have a hot take on like Andy Rubin's inappropriate relationship with Google. Like,
hot take. All right. No, I mean, exactly. Like you said, it's a personal matter. He didn't quit, or he's just taking a leave. No big whoop. Essential lives on. I did see an interesting take, though, that, you know, we were talking about a lot of money going into Essential, and a lot of people put faith in the man and not the company. You know, you say, oh, Andy Rubin's got a new company out. Oh, damn, Andy Rubin, he's like a guarantee winner. We will invest. Now, if something does happen along the line where Andy Rubin is forced out of Essential or something like that, I mean, that could be a big blow to the company and the people who invested in it. So we'll see. We're just going to let it play out. You and me are not going to be doing any digging or investigating into what Andy did at Google or didn't do at Google or any of this. So we're just going to, or we're just going to watch the House of Cards and see what goes on.
Yeah. That is the only angle, I think, that's like for us that's worth talking about is like, yes, the reason Essential is even on the map is because Andy Rubin is the founder of it, in charge of it. It's his company, right? Yeah. So that's also, like you just mentioned, part of the reason why they've taken in millions and millions and millions of dollars in funding and why they're supposedly valued at $1 billion, even though they made a really bad smartphone. Like, he is the face of the organization. So yes, should he permanently depart, that does change some things. And then we need to see where it goes from there. Like, is the funding still there? Like, are they still going to create awesome phones or not? You know, like, the things could change, but right now we're not quite at that
point. No, we're not quite there. If Andy does leave, we have to find someone to replace DeMasi or DeMasi ASAP. The dude does not understand like what it is to hype a
smartphone camera out of his hand now. Shut down his social media feeds now.
If anyone's
taking pictures, DeMasi.
Exactly. If anyone doesn't remember, before the Essential phone was available, he posted some pictures that were taken on an Essential prototype, and they were god awful. It turns out it probably wasn't a prototype at all. That was like just the mass manufactured phone, what first went off the line, and the camera was just bad. So
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
It was a fun time though. We wrote a story about it. He pulled those pictures so quickly.
Oh, yeah, gotta call him out, man. It was terrible.
We should be calling out for sharing garbage. Yes. Sorry, Nicholas in the chat called me Kevin. It was entertaining for a minute there.
Yo, he asked Kevin.
He said, "Kevin, Razer phone or OnePlus 5T?" And he's like, "I thought your name was Kevin."
You know, I want to say real quickly, address the comparison things. Because we have experience with each phone, you know, maybe we are some of the best people. You're the only people you can ask, you know, with those types of comparisons. But a lot of phones just come down. It's such a subjective thing, you know, like the OnePlus 5T versus a Note 8. I mean, if you got the money, Note 8, it's got a good camera. But like you said, you hate the software. I don't necessarily hate the software. It's going to vary from person to person. So you can't just ask a question like that and expect us to like give you a definitive answer all the time. I'm sorry. Like, I just can't.
It all kind of, all these comparisons. So what Nicholas asked was Razer phone or OnePlus 5T. So, I mean, I haven't used the Razer phone, so I don't know. I've obviously used the 5T, but yeah, like those are like totally different phones. Like one's like a gaming phone with giant speakers and a special display. The other is like not that at all. It's just like your normal flagship phone that's like dialed in. That's from a company that's been making phones. Like they're kind of different. $200 price there. I mean, that's tough. With all these phones, you have to kind of go into them going, well, what do I need in a phone, right? Like if you're asking us like which would we choose, like you have to first decide like what your most important things are, right? So like when we should probably just do a post someday on like this is how you decide what phone you should buy. But like when I personally go into a phone, first of all, like the camera has to be great. I have to enjoy the software. Those are kind of like the two biggest things, right? And then you start throwing in like, was the battery life good? Is the design cool enough? Like, do I like the look of this phone? Like, I think that's important. is it going to get updates? Like those. So like my top two are like camera and software just in general. And you could probably slot updates in there. But like, you know, the OnePlus 5T is not running the newest version of Android. Like I would probably choose it over the Galaxy S8 because the software, right? Even though it's not Oreo. So camera, software. And then in that second tier, I would put like updates, battery life, hardware design. And then after that, you kind of go, all right, so now what's it missing? Like if it checks those five boxes, like what's it missing? Like, well, it doesn't have a headphone jack. So I don't know. Is that going to break? It doesn't have wireless charging. Do I care? You know, then you start getting into some of those things. But so you got to have like your list. And like, I'm talking like everyone personally, like, you know, what makes a phone, like the phone you have right now, what don't you like about it? Like ask yourself that. And then when you look at these new phones, like go, well, that one still has crappy software, so maybe I will like that. I mean, like, that's kind of how I would break that down. I don't know. I don't know about you. Like, when you know, because we always get to this point of the year, which is, like, right now, and you kind of get to decide, like, well, I get to lock into a phone for a while. Mm. Like, when you choose, like, have you ever thought about that? Like, what are, like, how do you break that down? Like, you're obviously on the Pixel 2 XL. I'd imagine that's probably the phone you're going to stay with for a while. But, like, why did you not, like, run back to the Note 8?
The overall experience, like I look for like that package. I'm more of like, okay, what's the best package that fits my needs and that I think is like a premium experience? And because I'm lucky enough to have access to all the phones, like the Pixel 2 has just got such a good camera. The display stuff doesn't bug me as much as other people. But here's the thing though, hardware, I guess, doesn't play as much of a factor, right? Because say I've got the Essential phone here. This is like the nicest hardware ever. But the software experience, the camera experience is so lacking that it's like, okay, whatever. I could deal with the Pixel's larger size. It's not even that big, but there's like a, you know, it's got this display bubble thing going on and, you know, but it just offers good stuff in the camera. So there's a lot of things I weigh personally, but right. For me, it's got to be software and camera and actual performance, right? I mean, if my game was really crappy on this phone, I'd have to go to a different phone. So like there's certain apps, some phones run apps differently. God, there's a lot of stuff when you think about it.
Yeah, maybe start thinking about it. But it's like, so you kind of went the same thing. Like we both started with like camera. Software experience, right? Yeah. Like those two things, because those are sober. You use your phone constantly, so the experience and the software has to be great. And then the camera has to be great because you want to take pictures all the time. And then after that, everything kind of like lines up behind those two in a way. Mm. But see, like hardware for me is obviously important. Like the Essential phone is terrible, but I love the hardware, like the size, all of that. And like the Pixel 2 XL, I don't love it because I think it's too damn big. Like, it's a big ass phone. It's like note size, and that drives me nuts. So, but yeah, anyways, hopefully that helps when you guys are doing comparisons. Like, that's kind of where Tim and I start. Software, camera, how's that experience? And after that, you have to start deciding for yourself, like, what's next in line? Like, do you care about battery life? Do you care about design? Do you care about updates? Do you care about headphone jacks, wireless charge, all that crap? Does it need an SD card slot? Like, that's when those things fall in line. So,
yeah, everyone's needs are so different, right? So that's why it's hard for us to be objective. If you straight ask us, like, well, this phone versus that phone, which one should I get? It's like, I don't know your needs, bro. Like, I don't know you. Like,
right. That's why it's hard for us to just straight up go, like, when we do a review, like, you should buy this phone. Like, it's hard for us to ever say that because it may not work for you. Like, I think in the early days, there was a couple times where I was like, yeah, buy the Moto X2. Like, well, I love this phone. And then people bought the Moto X2 and like, dude, this is like the worst camera and I have all these bugs and all this crap. And so we got out of the game of saying like, yes, buy this phone. Because every time you do that, something happens and everyone blames us. Yes. We just offer our opinions on why we think these things are good. Yeah. You get to decide.
Yeah, not only that, I mean, it was easier back then because there weren't as many phones. Now you've got a new phone every other week, it seems like, and it's just, I mean, going out and just picking one is impossible.
Yeah. The nice thing is they're all pretty damn good.
They're all getting really good. This year has been the best so far.
Yeah, we've had a lot of good phones.
A lot of good phones. A lot of really good phones. I mean, we were talking about Pixel and Essential. Now, we didn't even mention V30, HTC phones, or Motorola phones, all of which have been pretty good. So it's been a solid year.
Outside of HTC, who doesn't release their best phones in the U.S. anymore, apparently.
Yeah. What's HTC?
Out there.
No, it's been a really good year. I'm so happy to be an Android fanboy. And,
What a year. Anyway, okay, back on track. Essential phone, outside of the drama, we got news on Oreo Beta 2 coming next week. Android 8.1, they're not going to do a beta for that. They're just going to release it straight up, probably because it's not that big of an update. The camera in the Essential phone, if you do own one, now has an update with portrait mode, and they improved the JPEG compression. They still don't know how to fix the touch latency and screen jitters. Like, that's one of those big deals with the Essential phone. Like, it's still jittery and janky. They apparently still, this is actually what they said, which is kind of alarming. They said, as we mentioned in our last AMA, screen scrolling jitter issues, we are continuing to improve on. You and several others have brought this to our attention. We realized we owe our supporters a better solution. In other words, they don't have a solution. We are working with our vendors to this further, this is word for word, there's obviously a spelling thing or going on grammar there. We are working with our vendors to something this further and committed internal and external resources looking into it, hoping to have something in the next beta. So like, they've realized like they don't know what they're doing anymore with the jitter stuff. Like, they don't have a fix, and so they're probably asking like whoever made their display, probably talking about Qualcomm, I don't know. So that stuff's not anyways, other news, charging dock, that thing is on the way. They think it'll cost less than $100, which seems kind of expensive for a wireless charging dock with a magnet in it.
Yeah.
And they said, like, it's going to be reasonably priced. I'm sorry, but like a $99, like, charging wireless charging dock with a magnet in it, you know? What else did they say? Stellar gray color is coming before the end of the year. And that ugly ocean depths thing that you guys all like. They just don't know when that's coming.
It's probably not coming.
It's probably way too hard to make. Yeah,
you guys have to realize they're selling the phone for like a few hundred dollars now, and like, there's no point in them releasing any new colors. The phone's a fail. They sold like a 5,000.
Yeah, the phone is kind of a massive first take failure.
I will say, for $300,
working on a second gen phone though.
Right, for $300, not that bad, I guess, but. At the original price, it's a fail.
Yeah. So over, it was Cyber Monday. They had like the deal of the day. It was, they dropped it on Amazon to $450 and included the 360 camera. That's actually a hell of a deal. Like, if you're in the $400 range for phone buying, like, you should have bought one.
It's nice. I could probably live with the camera. Like, if I was just an average everyday person, Joe Schmo, I might pick up an Essential phone for that price just because the hardware is so nice. I'm like holding it again. I'm like, why don't I use this thing?
Every time you pick it up, you're like, yeah. And then you turn that display on and get that unique look, and you're like, this is awesome. And then you like scroll and go, yeah, you open the camera and you're like, ah, so bad.
I have a problem. So, I mean, like, obviously, because the game I play that I'm addicted to apparently is in landscape. So, of course, I get that big black bar and I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, see, that never really bugged me that much, but.
Yeah. It, you know, certain phones, man, different strokes.
They all got them flaws.
Yeah.
All right. Moving out of there. So I read a piece this week about Google Now. Apparently people share some opinions with me on it. So Google Now, as you guys know, used to be awesome. It was, that was like when IO was still like downtown, San Francisco and Moscone. And, I just remember the first Google Now demo where they were like, check it out. It shows me like the weather and directions and transit times. And like, it's all just happening automatically. And here's my flight status. And here's package tracking. And Google Now was like this thing we talked about all the time. Remember there was like a running list of Google Now cards because they'd add new cards and we'd get all excited about them. So at some point in the last probably 2 years, Google Now, for sure in the last year, Google Now started changing. And Google Now, like, I don't even know what it is anymore. So Google Now, now you swipe over and get into Google and there's like this list of like news stories that Google thinks you might be interested in. And then if you want to get into like your next appointment, your flight status, your package tracking, all that, you have to like tap on this like weird button and it then takes you into the Google app and it's opened in this column. And then there's some other columns like your Google search history, which has a cool UI. I just don't know what the use or point of it is. It's just a giant mess. Like you can't swipe. This is like a big controversy like a few months ago where they stopped letting you swipe away cards in this like newsreader thing. So if you go to your panel that has all of your personal info, you can still swipe those cards away. But the newsreader, Google makes you like tap on a button. And anyways, Google Now is trash and it like basically no longer exists in the way we once loved it. I never use it anymore. I was just curious, like, do you ever go into that panel anymore? Like swipe over there? I do like a couple times a day, but certainly not as much as I used to.
Certainly not as much as I used to. I'm the same. Although, guys, it sounds like this is like the only thing I ever do with my life. But what's nice is that sometimes I swipe into there and the first thing will be like a new update from the developers of that game I play. And so anything, you know, if it sees that I'm on that forum.
Are they a sponsor? We need to get them to sponsor like the Droid Life show. Who do we talk to? Is that like a LucasArts thing?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot to disclose that. Yeah, they pay me a lot of money to talk about that game. Yeah, they are. So it's Capital Games they were hired by EA Games. So good luck getting EA to pay you.
Yeah.
But I do go in there for certain things. Like what's nice is like the phone just seems to know that I really like Star Wars. So whenever I scroll in there, there's news or stories about The Last Jedi or the game I play or whatever, you know, stuff like that. Sports teams I follow. Like I'm always up to date on what the Giants are up to. The Niners, rest in peace, are up to. And I mean, so it works for me still, but it's definitely, definitely, definitely not as cool as it used to be. So I'm with you on that, but I'm not the guy who's going to grab the pitchfork and the torches.
Oh, we got Twitter together this week. We had pitchforks out.
Yes, you did. You and Reddit and the Reddit army and everything. And that's just, it's not my style.
It just ranting about crap like this is just fun to me. But what I want to know is like why the personal info side of it that used to be like the whole point of it has now like been buried. So I swipe over there every once in a while because I still have this habit of going like, all right, well, hopefully Google will tell me like something's going on that I need to know about. And it doesn't really do that anymore. Like, so if you swipe over, it's just news crap. Every once in a while, like it'll show that the Blazers are playing or something, which is fine. Sure. But if I want to get into that personal info that used to be so handy, like you really have to like find this weird inbox button and then open some stuff. So like, I just wish that I could make that front and center. And then the news stuff was secondary. It's just an odd move. It's just sad. Like Google Now is such a cool new technology. Like when I was doing this piece, I was looking back at our Google Now stories and like one of the like big science publications, what the hell is it called?
Science publications?
Yeah, like something science. What the hell is it called? I should know.
Scientific American?
No, it's like a tech magazine, but it's like more geared towards like the scientific side of it. If I knew the damn name, you would know what I'm talking about. Anyways, they gave it like the technology of the year. Like usually they give that to like robotics and crap. I don't know. And it was like what the hell is that thing called? Popular Mechanics.
Okay, yeah.
So they called Google Now like the tech of the year, like in 2012 or something. Like that's how big of a deal it was. Like it was like the beginning of Google Assistant, AI, all that crap, right? And now it's just like this stupid feed reader. It drives me nuts a little bit. I still want to use it, and there's no use for it anymore.
Yeah, I get you on the feed reader thing.
That's the problem with it. I still swipe over there looking for information, and I kind of go, well, it's not there. But here's some more conspiracies on our government. So,
yeah, Popular Mechanic does seem to appreciate Google Now very much. So,
yeah, they love them some Google Now. Not so much anymore. All right. Anyways, in potentially huge news, Samsung has created something new for batteries or
chargers.
Yeah, for charging phones. So, Samsung has developed something called graphene balls. And
balls.
Yeah. So anyways, graphene balls, they think will allow them to increase battery capacity by 45%. That's a lot. And also charge phones five times faster. And they said specifically in their announcement for graphene ball battery technology, that if it used to take you an hour to charge your phone, obviously if you're charging five times faster, it like could take like 12 minutes to charge your phone. That's pretty crazy. I mean, while that's not saying phones will now last 3 days, which is what we really want, if your phone dies, you plug it in for 12 minutes, you have a full charge again. That's kind of we're getting back into game changing technology. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the capacity thing. Well, and they also said it increases by 45%, so you're getting a boost. So you may get like day and a half battery now, and then when it dies, you plug that thing in for 10 minutes and you're basically full again. Like, oh, Popular Science, maybe that's what, I don't know.
Yeah, I wanted to issue a clarification that we do think it is Popular Innovation of the Year is Google Now, given by Popular Science, not Popular Mechanics.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Popular Science,
thank you, Excelsior.
Anyways, that's huge. 45% increase in capacity, 12-15 minute to charge. Like right now we're talking, like Google does this. I think OnePlus does this. Like every time they announce a new phone, they're like, it has fast charging and like you can get 8 hours of use in 15 minutes. Well, Samsung's saying like in 15 minutes, we'll charge your whole damn phone. Like that's a big, big, big deal. Pretty awesome.
That's a huge deal.
We don't know if like this is anywhere close to being in a battery in your phone, but they're filing for patents, of course, right now. That's like step one for them. That's huge though. This is like new tech that's cool. Like we haven't had advancements in battery tech in however long, right? Other than fast charging. So
quick charging plus and blah blah blah. It's kind of boring, the whole quick charging thing.
Yeah, but we got graphene balls now.
I know, graphene balls changes the game. Very exciting. Yeah, I wish I understood more about that stuff, but
you know, I wrote up the graphene balls story and I tried to keep it light because it's like, I mean, we're talking like super nerd stuff, right? And some guy in the comments was like, why do you write like a fourth grader or something like that? And I was like, oh, Jesus. I was trying to have some fun with it. We're talking about battery technology, but there is a link. If you are into the nerdy side of it that I did not go into, there's a link to this entire write-up, basically case study on it, that like the first paragraph, I lost any sort of sense of what was going on. Like
the graphene balls.
Yeah, I mean, here's the first, it's in the abstract section. It says, improving one property without sacrificing others is challenging for lithium ion batteries due to the trade-off nature among key parameters. Like, that's like the first sentence. Like, you lost me at sacrificing.
Yeah, it's a lot of big words, and because I don't understand them, I have to take them as disrespect.
That's right. Don't disrespect me with your smart words. So anyways, there's a huge write-up. If you're into the science part of it, it's there. But either way, just know graphene balls might be the future. It's very exciting.
I really want to find the comment that was mad at you.
It was pretty great. Oh, I totally responded to him. I get feisty when people fire off at me like that. Oh, I'll find it for you.
Yeah, there's a few good comments in here, actually.
Yeah, somebody, because We wrote the title, Samsung's Balls Will Make Battery Charging Faster. Some guy was disappointed that we didn't get dirtier in the actual article and rewrote it like in a dirty way. It's like, yeah, the comments are actually pretty great.
Yeah. Is your demographic 14 to 18-year-olds? If not, why do you write like
That's it, yep.
That's really awesome.
Mike in the comments, yeah, is your demographic 14 to 18-year-olds? If not, why do you write like one? Chill out, dog.
Yeah, come on, DeQuardo.
That guy's not having a good day when I wrote that up.
He got that was 3 days ago. Was that a Tuesday or Monday? Don't
bring your teenage chatter at me. Don't bring that at me.
Well, he probably is like an engineer of some kind. And he's like, wow, these guys must be idiots. They don't understand graphene ball technology. Losers. I graduated from MIT.
Whatever. If you're from MIT and you're reading Droid Life, we do bring it down if you like. Just a couple.
That's really funny.
All right. Anyways, graphing balls are the future. Very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. See, like a Droid Life shirt that says, like, I got balls, and then on the back says graphene balls or something. That'd be awesome. Cool. I like it.
I like it. We do need a graph. The thing is, they're like patenting. Oh, that's not a trademark, though. Before they trademark it, we should create a graphene ball t-shirt.
And then we could say we were already like selling it and all that. Interesting. All right. We'll look into this.
It's not a bad idea.
I got the graphene.
All right. Random note, Oreo updates are actually starting to arrive for phones, which is kind of crazy. First of all, we got Android 8.1 developer preview 2 this week. So if you have any of the Pixel phones or Pixel C, or that might be it. I don't think the Nexus player is a part of this anymore. Anyways, if you got Pixel products And no, Nexus 6P and 5X are in there? I can't remember. I can't keep track. Yes, they are. Android 8.1 developer preview 2 is out. There's nothing really new other than Google fixed the hamburger emoji. They put the cheese back in the right spot. That's the breaking news out of that. But yeah, DP2. Stable build will be the next one after this. So this is mostly stable.
Nice.
In other Oreo updates, though, HTC U11 is getting Oreo this week. The OnePlus 5 is getting a beta Oreo build. And the OnePlus 3 and 3T got stable Oreo. So we're getting some Oreo. We're getting some Oreo. Which is, you know, good, because it's been out for what? Since August? Or like 4 months in or something like that? That's not bad. Usually when that new Android build drops, if you update your phones before the end of the year, that's usually seen as a positive thing. Hmm. Samsung's got some betas for Oreo out on the S8 and S8 Plus, so they're kind of getting there. LG, I think, dropped the V30 beta in Korea only.
Yeah,
you can't test it, but you know, things are happening. Oh, Essential also dropped an Oreo beta a few weeks ago. So
that's true. That was huge news.
That was. They were about the first out of the gate, I think.
It's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm.
All right, finally, it was the holiday shopping week. Did you buy anything good last week for yourself?
Yeah, for myself, I did go to Walmart. Got a Walmart somewhat close to my house, so I went there on Saturday. Or no, late Friday I went, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I went, I got some footy pajamas for myself, because, you know, it's just that time of the year. Footy pajamas just feel right.
Pajamas do come in handy right about now.
Yeah, they do. I'm just that kind of guy. I'm lazy, like to hang out, rock some footy pajamas.
Yeah, we don't get dressed very often around here when you work at home.
Yeah, exactly.
DL offices. I don't think I bought anything. I'm just kind of looking. I don't think I bought anything cool. I bought lots of presents stuff, because there was discounts on some things I thought some people might like. I just bought some more like Philips Hue. Oh, I bought an Xbox right there. Look, right
there. Right. Oh, yeah. I see it.
Right there. How about that? That is what I bought, because they were down to like $289 or something, 1S. I didn't get the 1X because I don't game enough to spend $500 on a goddamn console.
Did you play some games or what?
Oh, yeah. A little Call of Duty.
What?
Oh, yeah. Why not? What else would I play?
Which Call of Duty? The 2? World War 2?
Oh, yeah. Dub Dub Deuce.
Dub Dub Deuce. And how did you do? Did you get pwned like a noob?
Oh, of course. I'm terrible, but like, you know, run around, shoot some people. It's fun.
Nice. Wow.
I mean, I'm not like the worst player on earth, but I'm not like ever going to be considered like decent.
Yeah. I mean, just so everyone knows, Kellen was into esports before esports was even like a thing. What game did you play way back in the day?
Oh, original Unreal Tournament. T99. Actually, I did. Yeah, I was on like had a little team going, and we called them the Clans back in the day. Do you guys, do you kids still call them Clans?
No, they're just like their teams.
Okay, because for years and years, everyone's like, "I'm in this clan," and I always thought it was so weird. It was always embarrassing. Like people were weird. Like, "Yeah, you play that game a lot, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah, my clan." Like it was like clan. Original Unreal Tournament. I was like. I was on a solid team. Like we're pretty good playing some tourney. That was before there was like actual money in it, unless you lived like in Korea, right, or something like that. Yeah. But that was all PC gaming. That was before console gaming was a real thing because there was no internet on console games back then. It was all PC gaming.
Yeah, God, what console was that when you were doing that? That would have been like N64, Sega Genesis. It was
2002.
Yeah.
So I don't know what.
I'm trying to think where the hell was I? That was original PlayStation.
Was it? Or PS2,
mm-mm.
maybe?
Mm-mm. I don't think PS2 wasn't out yet.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, it was that long ago. So, yeah, it was all PC gaming. And, of course, I was in college on, like, a T1, like, dedicated line. Our pings were, like, 15 and crap. It was ridiculous. It was the good old times.
Like, 15 actual seconds? Or, like, milliseconds?
Milliseconds, yeah. 15 seconds, yeah. No, that was like before they started bogging down like networks and stuff. That was like you could go on Napster. This is how old I am. This is like 2001 though. Like you go on Napster, download something, and it was just like, whoa. That was when like all the kids at school just started destroying school networks because there was no caps on anything and they didn't know what they were doing. No. Anyways, yeah. Back in the day, I used to game a little bit.
I ruined a lot of computers back in the day using like BearShare and Kazam and all. I mean, Kazam was the worst. I don't know why I used that because every computer I used it on was just get trashed like with viruses. So it's whatever.
They like, weren't work, my old work computers and stuff. You're like, sorry, it wasn't me.
Or like my parents' computers. They'd like get a, oh, dude, we got a Dell. All right, first thing I'm going to do is download Kazam and ruin it for you. But yeah.
Yeah.
So you were
Sean in the chat has brought up Unreal Tournament 10-year anniversary day. What does that mean? I know there was like some weird beta thing, like Epic Games kind of like stopped making Unreal Tournament because people stopped playing it. What does he mean? UT 10-year. I don't know what that means. Anyways, yeah. So I used to, but now no. I dabble. Like when you first moved to Portland, I was like sharing personal stories now. When you first moved to Portland, you got me back into playing, like for the first time on a console. Like that was Xbox 360. Must have been 360, and it was Black Ops 2, and I played that, and then I bought the next one after that,
Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, and that was fine. And then I think I quit after that. I think I had a kid, probably. I moved here into this house, and then I stopped playing. I think
that's so
it's
true.
Been like three or four. How many years has that been then? Modern Warfare 3. It's been like three, four games.
It's been a while. No, we Modern Warfare 3, and then Black Ops 2. I think so. Switched those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because it went Black Ops, Modern Warfare 3, Black Ops 2. Yeah.
And then I quit. When it got all futuristic, jumpy crap, I was like,
Advanced Warfare, yeah, and you were gone. Yeah.
Now we're back to old boots on the ground.
Yeah, we're back, man. Kazaa, yes. Tom, Luli in the chat, thank you. It was Kazaa, not Kazam, whatever. It's been like 10, 15 years. Give me a break.
BearShare, Kazaa, all
BearShare was legit, though. And LimeWire.
LimeWire. All that stuff.
Because I got so into the college, game.
We were using IRC. Like I knew a dude who ran like a heavy IRC server. Had like all the games he was out. Like it was bad, and it was good though. You download like a whole album or movie in like a minute. It was nuts. Not anymore.
Good times, man.
All right. I don't know what else is going on. I bought an Xbox. That's right. That's what we were talking about.
That's it. Cool.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. You know, like news wise might be a little light for the next month, but we'll try to get some shows in. CES is a month away. We never know. Like sometimes CES has cool stories. Sometimes it doesn't. We still go. We still have a good time. So we'll have that coverage and that good stuff. But otherwise, yeah, we're just kind of coasting through the end of the year. OnePlus 5T review coming. We'll probably start putting together some lists of some of our favorite things, you know, that sort of thing. We'll try to keep you guys entertained.
I hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. Bundle up. It's getting cold out there, folks. Nuclear winter is coming.
God, that's a great way to end the show.
I'm sorry. The world's a mess. I don't know
what you want to say. The last great piece ever. That's a bomb.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. All right. Anyway, have a safe weekend, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Droid Live Show.
Peace.